Make your plans now to join us for the G3 National Conference, September 30th through October 2nd, as we'll gather for Christian fellowship and the worship of God through song and the preached word. Our theme for the 2021 conference will be centered on biblical Christology. You can find registration details at g3men.org. Get 15% off by mentioning code G3BAR. That's G3BAR.
Hey, what's up, Bar listeners? Before we get into this episode, I want to let you know that today's show is brought to you by AGTV. That's right. The people that made the American Gospel documentary has come up with a streaming service app that's pretty much like Netflix for solid biblical content. Go to watch AGTV. Use the code BAR, the number one, to get 10% off the monthly rate. AGTV is so awesome. They also have our very own Just Thinking podcast on there. So you want to make sure you go to watchagtv.com. Use the code BAR, the number one, for 10% off.
Welcome to the bar, come on and pull up a seat and open up your Bible. What a wonderful feast, the living bread, and we're discussing what it means for the streets, the inner cities and the burbs, and every person we meet. This is where we challenge worldviews that we hear from world news. In light of the scripture, we are here to serve you. We're your source for resources to help you on your way as you battle mean forces. This is for the people who can see the importance of sound theology and the scripture that support it. And this is for the truth lovers, biblically reforming, preaching Christ to the nations. Yeah, welcome to the Modern Reformation, yeah.
The Bar, biblical and reformed. Welcome everybody to The Bar. It's your boy Dwayne in the building, right back in here another Tuesday. Super excited as always to be coming through your speakers, through your earbuds, wherever you listen to The Bar. We're grateful that you're listening. And like I do every week, I bring in awesome guests, and this guest is a part of an elite group, the repeat offenders, a repeat guest on the show, a good friend of mine, none other than Pastor Jim. How you doing today, sir?
Good, Dwayne. Good to hear from you and talk to you again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good to have you, man. I've had the pleasure of staying connected with you, which I love when I find good people just staying connected and just send random how you doing text, man. And we've held that relationship since then, man. So I definitely appreciate you first not ignoring my text messages and then just being a good friend, man. I do appreciate that. So those that might have missed that first show, man, just kind of introduce yourself. Tell anything you want to share, personal, professional. You got the floor to do that right here.
All right. Well, my name is Jim Osmond. I pastor a small church up in rural North Idaho, just outside of Sandpoint, Idaho, about an hour south of the U.S.-Canadian border. It's a non-denominational church. I'm more reformed in my soteriology, not necessarily my eschatology, but my soteriology. And I've been pastoring since 1996. And so it's almost 25 years now.
Nice, nice. That is 25 years. That's a lot of time to lend your services to the people, you know, to the Lord first and to the people.
Yeah, so all in the same church, actually.
Yo,
all
man.
In the same church. And in the church that I got saved as a result of the church's ministry in my life. So
wow.
They were instrumental in leading me to the Lord and then sending me to Bible college. And when I got out of Bible college and graduated from there, I was kind of back at home here in Sandpoint, just working. I was working in the trades, doing a little construction and some roofing and various odd jobs. And the previous pastor resigned, and they kind of looked at me and said, "Well, you're sort of, you know, you're the young blood, and you went to college. You should know what to do." So they asked me if I would do that. And I was only 24 years old at the time.
Wow.
And I'm not sure if they were foolish or naive or just really trusting.
Wow, that is awesome, man. So I didn't know that part, man. I want to dig into that just a little bit before we get to the real reason why I got you here, because I have a lot of local pastors that listen to this podcast and, you know, guys that start up and, you know, coming out of seminary, a lot of those guys. So coming back to the home church, church you got saved in, church everybody knows you. How was that stepping into the leadership role? Were there any things, you know, that came against you, or how was that transition?
No, you know, it was really interesting because nothing was as I would have expected it to be. We we were a small church of about 25 people at the time. And mm-hmm. so I was well known. They had known me from youth group on up, and I kind of was serving almost, I wasn't serving as a recognized elder, but I was teaching Sunday school. I was, you know, exercising hospitality and doing mm-hmm. a lot of things that elders do, even though I wasn't recognized as an elder at the time. And I really didn't think that I was called to serve in any kind of an elder or pastoral responsibility. Mm. And the previous pastor, when he stepped down, it was just because he wanted to give his time and attention to a full-time job and not have to split vocationally right. between pastoring the church and working another job. So he was kind of doing part of one and part of the other. And he just felt like he wanted to move out of pastoring. So it was no moral disqualification or anything like that.
Right.
And so when they asked me to take over as pastor within a couple of years, the previous pastor, his dad was also at the church, and his dad was the pastor before him.
Oh, wow.
So I had two previous pastors at the church when I assumed the role of elder here and preaching pastor. And I can honestly tell you there was no competition and no resentment or anything on behalf of either of the previous guys with some of the changes that we made or things that we did. There was no sort of, you know, back when I did this, we did it this way. And, you know, you young whippersnapper, you need to kind of get in line and do it likewise. And there was none of that ever. Wow. I had nothing but support from the two previous men. They were godly men. I love both of them. A couple years ago, I don't know if it's been 2 years now, the first pastor, the father of the previous one, he passed away, and we remained in contact and friends till the end. I had nothing but love and respect for him. And I never had any issues with either one of those two men. So stepping into leadership position, I think it allowed me to make some of the changes that needed to be made to the church quickly and easily without having to earn people's trust and respect, because they knew me mm-hmm. and they trusted me, and I had already taught and I had already preached. And so there was already a level of trust and a certain amount of respect that I had there because I had been part of the church for so long. So mm-hmm. that when I stepped in, I wasn't like a new guy coming in from outside that had to sort of earn his right. keep and sort of earn that respect over 5 to 7 years before you could start making changes without upsetting people. I was able to, by the grace of God, able to do that and had the love and trust of the people early on, which was good. It made for some healthy transitions to various things that I think we needed to change as a church.
Oh, for sure. Wow. That's amazing. That, you know, just, it's God orchestrated, man, because I've heard so many yeah. different, you know, stories of, you know, especially something like that where both guys are still there and people being undermined and things like that, or having to earn the respect. So that's amazing, man. I'm glad you shared that with us. And that's going to give somebody in seminary hope that it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, with two previous pastors here, there was a period of time when both of them were on the elder board, an elder wow. board of three men, and then added myself. And there were times when both the previous pastors were on the elder board, and we trusted one another, loved one another, respected right. one another, and worked. I mean, that I think is an evidence of the Spirit of God at work in the hearts of people when you for can sure. do that without any kind of trying to cut one another out or undermine one another or anything like that. There's no conflict or competition.
Right.
Amongst us, it was just it was the work of the Spirit of God, and that goes against all conventional wisdom. I mean, at a seminary, they would tell you if you're going to step into a church, make sure that the previous pastor is no longer there;
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Otherwise, people won't follow your leadership. Well, I mean, it was because of the previous pastor's belief in what I was doing and trust in me and mutual respect and love for one another that people did follow my leadership. It was because of what they contributed to it. So
right.
if there's anything to be learned there, it is that if you are a previous pastor, you should conduct yourself in a godly fashion and support whoever succeeds you. And hopefully at some point in the future, when I retire and I hand this off to somebody else to take over my most prominent position of leadership here as being the most prominent elder, the most visible one, I should say, when I hand that position off to somebody else, hopefully I'll have the grace, and I believe I will have the grace to help them out so that they succeed and make it a smooth transition.
That is amazing, man. Again, I appreciate you sharing that, because it's not often you hear just that kind of behavior. So I definitely appreciate that. So, man, let's get into while we're here. Those true blue bar listeners know when you were on here before, we were talking about your book, I think, do you call it TOT? I remember we was texting or something. You abbreviated it. I can't remember. What did you say?
Yeah, I abbreviated TOT.
Yeah. So truth. Was it truth or territory? I always mix it up. What is the name of that?
Yep, truth or territory.
That's it. So that book has really, it was amazing. It like I told you in the interview, you know, I knew it was going to impact my household. You know, my wife, you know, read it or in reading it. The small group that I'm in, shout out to my small group, my Friday. It's a couple small group. Shout out to them. We're actually getting ready to go through it. I think I mentioned that to you. And when we thought it was all, you know, everything was good, and we were ready to stop putting thorny hedge of protection around our kids, you come out with this new book called, what is it? God Don't Whisper. What is the name of it?
Yeah, God Doesn't Whisper.
Doesn't Whisper. And the title in itself, it piqued my interest. My ears are perked up as soon as you told me that, man. So let's jump into that, man. Let's talk about that. What is that book about, man? And God, who said God doesn't whisper, man? Come on, talk to me.
Well, it seems as if all the books that I write end up being a mea culpa for past heretical beliefs or aberrant beliefs that I've believed at one time or another. When I first got saved, very much like the spiritual warfare stuff that I deal with in Truth to Territory, I believed a lot of, I think now, unbiblical things about how God speaks to us. Mm. My first year at Bible college, when I got to the end of that, I was exposed to a bunch of Christians who talked and spoke and made decisions as if God were whispering nudgings and promptings and private messages in their ears. And so the kids who would got the end of the first year and they needed to make a decision about whether or not to come back for second year at college, they would talk about, well, the Lord just spoke to me. He revealed me. He, you know, I heard the still small voice. I felt a nudging and impression. The Lord is prompting me, et cetera. They use this language and they say, well, I had a peace about it. Or they would say, mm-hmm. You need to put out a fleece and ask God to reveal his will to you through a fleece like Gideon. And, you know, is God opening a door? Is God giving you a sign? Stuff like this. It was the language that they used. And so I thought, well, this is, I mean, I don't hear any of this, but maybe this is biblical. And so I was praying and begging for God to reveal to me whether or not I should come back for Bible college to a second year. And I never heard any still small voices or promptings or nudgings or anything. At the end of the day, at the end of that year, I eventually did what I most wanted to do and desired to do. And that was to go back and continue my education at Bible college, even though I didn't know that the Lord was going to call me to be a pastor.
Right.
After that. So that's what I believed. And shortly after I made that decision and came back for a second and then a third year of Bible college, I was exposed to one of the Bible professors who challenged me and that whole paradigm of hearing the voice of God. He challenged me to evaluate that in the light of scripture. And I came to the conclusion that God has spoken to us in his word, and he has given to us everything necessary for life and godliness. And we don't need to hear the voice of God outside of scripture. We shouldn't expect to hear the voice of God outside of scripture. And we can't learn to hear the voice of God outside of scripture. Mm. If God is not speaking to us, then there's nothing we can do to hear him. And if he is speaking to us, then there's no possibility that he will not be heard. Mm. Because the God who is speaking always ensures that what he says will be understood by the person to whom he is speaking. So the gist of the book is that God is not whispering to us in that way. He has given to us scripture instead as our guide. And we have in scripture everything we need for making this daily decisions. Mm-hmm. And the things that scripture does not address, like whether I should have Chinese or Mexican for lunch today, those decisions are left up to us to decide. And God is not necessarily concerned with whether I have Chinese or Mexican for lunch, so long as I eat, drink, and do all things to the glory of God. So in the book, so that's the gist of the book. God does not whisper. He's not whispering in our voice, in our ears, and giving us nudgings and promptings, and we shouldn't expect him to do so, because we have no promise in scripture that we will hear the voice of God in anywhere other than in scripture itself.
I love it so much, Jim. You just don't know. I was at a church that we walked through. It was a whole workbook of hearing the voice of God, literally. That it was some book that had came out, and I was a part of that church at that time.
Was it Experiencing God?
Yeah. Well, I think it. Yep. It was Experiencing God
by Henry Blackaby.
Yep,
yeah.
That's it. Yep. We had the workbooks and everything, man. That is so, I mean, it's so freeing, man. When you really think about it, you know, people that are trying to, you know, especially those that don't hear anything, you know, the honest people, because they feel like they're less, they feel like they're not godly enough. They're not Christian enough. Oh man. I when I was in those circles, I didn't think about those folks, you know, I was too busy embellishing my own story, you know, like, right. You know, God told me, my favorite one, and you mentioned it. I got a piece about this, you know. I thought about it, and just a piece came over me.
Yeah,
that used to be my favorite one, man. And I remember the very first time. I think it was the first time I heard Vody, but Vody. Somebody sent me a message from Pastor Vody Bakum, and he was talking about having that, you know, waiting for a piece is similar to witchcraft, you know, like you're chasing after a feeling or whatever. And that got me, man. So, let's dive a little deeper, man. Cause I love your approach in, truth of territory. Just setting the biblical, you know, basis up front and then just walking through some of the things. You mentioned what you experienced in college, you know, are there any more experiences some story-like things in this book or whatever that you can kind of touch on?
Yeah. You know, that college, I begin the book with the chapter one is called The Crisis of College, where I tell that whole story in great detail. And at the end of that first year, I began to, at first it caused me to doubt really my own salvation. Cause I thought, why am I not having these private revelations? Why am I not hearing still small voices in my cranium like everybody else seems to be hearing? And that made me wonder, is it because I'm not spiritual enough? Is it because I'm not truly saved? Am I not? I mean, Jesus said that his sheep will hear his voice. And so if I'm not hearing that voice, if I'm not getting these promptings and seeing these signs clearly laid out for everybody, then what's wrong with me? You know, why is God speaking to other people and not me? Am I under discipline? Is it because I'm not mature enough? That's what I began to doubt and wonder. And that crisis, that really, I was never able to shake that for the next couple of years until I finally ran into the Bible college professor I talked about that challenged that whole thing. So that was that crisis was more than just, you know, I didn't hear it at that one occasion, but I began to negotiate with God. Okay, so if you're not going to talk to me, give me a sign, you know, make my entire next year's tuition be paid before I leave this year. Mm. And if that happens, then I know that your will is, that'll be a clear, direct sign. I'll consider that a word from you. I'll consider that revelation. And that didn't happen. And so then it got closer to the end of the school year. And I'm like, okay, well, just half a tuition, just half a semester, half a year, one semester, not the whole year, just half a semester. If you do that, Lord, I'll do it. And then I got down to bargaining. God would just have someone step forward and pay for my books for that next year, not tuition, just the books. Then I would know, you know, or just like a deposit. And I felt like Abraham bargaining for a city. You know, if there's 10 righteous, if there's 9, will you spare it? And that's what I was asking God to do. Just give me something. And he never, I believe now that the whole point of that was that he would cast me back upon his word. And I believe his intention in that was to show me that the reason that he was not giving me private revelation was not because I wasn't his child or I wasn't his sheep. And it wasn't because I wasn't spiritual enough or mature enough or because I hadn't learned it. It's because I didn't need it. What I need is scripture. And I made make our decisions on the basis of scripture and scripture alone. And that is sufficient.
Right. Wow. Yeah. No, that makes so much sense, man. And yeah, I think I've been in those bargaining conversations with God as well, you know, wanting a certain outcome and trying to, you know, like, let's do this, let's do that. Wow. So good, man. So good, brother. You know, I know you and Justin, good friends, and I think you were his pastor before he moved. He gets credit for this quote, but I don't know if he actually, you know, is the author of it, but he talks about, you know, if you want to hear God speak, you know, read your Bible. If you want to hear him audibly, read your Bible out loud, you know, but a lot of people give him credit for that. But that's what I think about when I, you know, just listening to your book just listening to what the book is about. And I'm assuming you point back to scripture like you did with
T-O-T-O-T is, you know, you point back to that's where God speaks, man. So talk about that. There may be somebody listening that don't understand the authority of scripture, you know, and don't understand that that is God's word and this is authentic word. So talk about that a little bit before we go to our break.
Yeah, so we either believe that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness in his word, and that his word is sufficient, or we don't. We're looking for something else. And I think that everything that plagues modern evangelicalism, every issue that the church deals with today, whether we're talking about the seeker-sensitive movement or bad theology or bad preaching or bad methodology or whatever it is, all of it comes back to a lack of belief in the sufficiency of Scripture. In the spiritual warfare, it comes out that people think that they need to interview demons or they need some spiritual warfare expert or something revealed by God outside Scripture to give them the ability to have victory over Satan and his demons. And that is an undermining of the sufficiency of Scripture. And this theology that God whispers to us in our ears and gives us impressions and nudgings and leads us in this way, and that we should expect to hear from God and we must learn to hear from God outside Scripture, that itself is also an assault upon the sufficiency of Scripture. That's if right. We believe that God has given to us everything we need nothing else. It is sufficient. I have enough in Scripture that when I have mastered this book, then I will need something more. But until I've mastered that book from Genesis to Revelation, I need nothing more. Mm. And you and I in 100 lifetimes are not going to master everything in Scripture.
That's right.
And so I'd bring it right back to the Scripture is sufficient. God has given to us what we need for decision making, for hearing from him. We can open up the pages of Scripture and we can read. And when we read and understand the text, we are hearing God speak in his word. Mm. That is his word. It's not that the Bible becomes the word of God when it comes alive to us or jumps off the page at us. It is the Bible is the word of God. I can be reading through the Psalms and I am hearing the voice of God in the word of God as I'm understanding the passage as I read it. And I don't need to hear him say, Jim, have Chinese food for lunch, or Jim, go talk to your neighbor. I don't need those things. Those things are not necessary for me to live a God-honoring life. Jim, I need Scripture.
You're going to make me get some Chinese food, just so you know. You keep talking about Chinese food. Sorry to interrupt.
I must have Chinese food on the brain, man. It must be, man.
That's been your example both times, man. I'm like, Jim, are you going to make me get some Chinese food? God told me, go get some Chinese food. No, man.
I'll give another example.
Yeah, we'll definitely get another example. But man, no, that's spot on, man. That's awesome. And I said I was going to go to the break, but I want to bring up one more thing. I don't know if you even address it, but it's something that I know you can address on the air. Because I know a lot of people that they don't necessarily talk about God saying, or they'll say they had a dream, you know, and the dream was prophetic or whatever. Do you cover that in the book or anything like that?
Chapter 14 is titled, Perfect. I Had a Dream. And I deal with that issue of whether God's speaking to us through his dreams and whether dreams are authoritative or revelatory today.
Yes, sir. That right there. I need that one. I know quite a few people that still, you know, think the dream, you know, they don't necessarily, I guess, co-sign with prophecy or whatever, but they still think the dream is symbolic or, like I said, revelatory. And one thing that helped me with that, and it's funny, I'm just being real with my listeners and feel like I'm talking to my friend Jim on the phone or something, but one thing that helped me with the dream concept, even before I had sound theology, was there was a Chinese movie called Shogun Assassin. And in Shogun Assassin, the son had a dream. He said, I had a bad dream. And his dad looked at him and said, son, dreams are just dreams. And that was it. Like, oh, okay. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And what, you know, I've pointed out to people, why should I believe that the fevered imaginations of my slumbering brain are authoritative revelation from God? And I quote in there, Jack Deere, and guys like Jack Deere and charismatics who would say, oh, you don't want to miss a dream. You never know when God's going to be speaking to you through a dream. That's one of God's primary ways, his languages that he speaks to us is in dreams. Well, why should I think that God needs a dream to get my attention? He has given to me his word. Why would I trust what he gives to me in a dream? How do I know that my dream comes from God? Mm. There's nothing in Scripture that says that gives me any instruction on when to know that a dream is from God and it's revelatory and when a dream is just the bad tacos that I ate for lunch. So there's a different food. Bad
there you
Chinese
go.
Food, Dwayne. How do I know if a dream is caused by the bad Chinese food that I had after my interview on the Bar podcast, or if my dream is a revelation from God? I have no way of knowing
exactly.
that. Scripture doesn't tell me if it's self-deception
wow.
or if it's just the result of my mind just active during the day. You know, how many times have you done something all day long? You know, you're doing one job all day long and then you go to bed and you dream about it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Sometimes our dreams are just the result of what we've been doing all day long, or a confluence of various events that all have happened to us and they all kind of come together in a dream. Why mm-hmm. do I think that that's revelatory? And then it's confusing. What do I make of the symbols? There's nothing in scripture that tells me exactly. that God, there's nothing in scripture that promises me that God will speak to me in a dream. Mm. There's nothing in scripture that tells me how to know when a dream is from him or when it's from Satan or when it's from myself. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing in scripture that tells me how to interpret a dream.
Wow.
For that, I have to go to Jack Deere, who has a whole chapter in his book, Surprised by the Voice of God, where he talks about the dream vocabulary that God gives us and how you interpret the symbols in dreams. And
yep.
he has all of these bizarre parameters for how you interpret dreams. There's nothing, all of that is outside scripture. There's nothing in scripture that tells me that I should trust my dream or even that I should consider my dream as God trying to say anything to me at all. If God needs to say something to me, he has said it in his word. He can make it clear. He doesn't whisper.
That's right.
He doesn't brother. Whisper in our dreams.
Whew. So good, man. So good. You know, that's hitting home. And that's why I asked. And I'm so glad you covered it. I can't wait to get my hands on that book. So, all right here, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Back.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy, Pastor Chris Hernandez.
And this is Jimmy De Los Santos.
And we're your boys from SolarCast.
We're just a couple of average guys who came out of the charismatic movement to a reformed understanding of theology.
That's right. Catch us with a new episode every Tuesday morning on all the platform networks, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and the like.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at @Sola_cast.
Also search for us on Facebook, like the page, share the page.
Let's get to the meat.
Let's do it.
All right, we're back in here with my good friend, Pastor Jim, and we're just talking about this book. And so this book, we're actually going to have some copies to give away as prizes for Bar listeners. You listen to this episode. If you listen to this episode, write a review or subscribe to the email list or shoot me a direct message if you already did all of that. I'll pick maybe three. I think he's sending me five. I'm gonna keep two. So I'll pick.
That's
three.
True. Yep.
I'll pick three lucky listeners to get a free copy of this new book. God Doesn't Whisper. So excited. So you got to do one of the three: subscribe, write a review, or just message me directly. Actually, message me if you do any of those and just let me know, screenshot it, and we'll send you a free copy as soon as possible. So, all right, Pastor Jim, right here, these are your favorite questions. And I'm glad you was like, yeah, this is the podcast to ask about what books and stuff. So that means my questions stand out in my guest's mind and they remember me for this. So I feel really good about that. So we're going to we're going to jump right in, man. And just in case anything's changed, man, what kind of music do you listen to?
I'm very eclectic in my music. I don't like a lot of the contemporary Christian music stuff. I am repulsed by the Jesus Is My Boyfriend songs that get churned out by Christian musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I do like some of the Sovereign Grace and the Geddes music that's come out, as well as City of Light and some of that good worship music. I enjoy that. But I'm a child of the 80s, and I do enjoy a little bit of classical music, some secular music. I like pretty much almost anything except for acid rock or hard rock and country. You
nice.
Know, those are like two extremes of the spectrum that I just cannot get into. So I enjoy a little bit of classical music now and again as well. So
sure.
I'm pretty eclectic.
Nice. Okay. All right. Good deal. All right. So let's go to the reading list. What book or books are you currently reading?
Currently, I am reading The Atonement by A.W. Pink, and I'm almost done with that. And I'm reading, what's the name of it? It's not here in front of me. What About Free Will, I think, by, what is that guy's name? I don't have it in front of me here, man. That's What About Free Will is the title of it. Okay. A modern book on the subject of free will and how our choices mesh with the sovereignty of God in a compatibilist sense. And I think it's probably the easiest read. It's kind of like if you were to take Jonathan Edwards and kind of put it in modern vernacular,
that would be
that book. It's just a good take dealing with compatibilism and libertarian freedom, what affects our choices, et cetera. That's it. That's a good one.
Nice.
So I'm enjoying those two, and sometime soon I want to pick up The Death of Death by John Owen and read that. And then I've got another one that was recommended by Kurt Daniel called The History and Theology of Calvinism that I picked up at Shepherd's Conference this last year. That's on my short list of books to read.
Nice. Good deal.
So those are four of them for you.
All right. That's perfect, man. That's perfect. All right, sir. Last signature bar question is, what podcast or sermons do you listen to, if any?
I enjoy the preaching of John MacArthur. I listen to his Grace to You podcast, or at least the pulpit feed, I guess, that comes from Grace Community Church. And then I also enjoy Phil Johnson with Grace to You. He's the executive director of Grace to You. His Sunday school class with Phil Johnson and Mike Riccardi called the Grace Life Pulpit is fantastic. And I also enjoy, religious shows, Stand to Reason with Greg Kokel. I enjoy that podcast. Greg, and since we're talking about God Doesn't Whisper, Greg was, he doesn't know me from Adam, but he was instrumental in affecting my thinking, because when I was starting to put all the pieces together and question some of my preconceived notions regarding how God spoke to us, I ran across Gary Friesen's book, Decision Making and the Will of God. And shortly after that, I ran across Greg Kokel's teaching series, his CD series called Decision Making and the Will of God. And where he went through a lot of this, you know, whether God speaks to us outside scripture or not, and what does it mean to have a peace about something? And what about fleeces and dreams? Are we saying that God can't ever speak to us, et cetera? How does God speak through scripture? He dealt with all of that. And so Greg Kokel was really instrumental in helping me crystallize and put into words what it was that I was really struggling with. And he was instrumental in changing my mind in that, Gary Friesen and Greg Kokel both. So I listened to Stand to Reason, SDR's podcast. It's a good apologetics podcast. And that's not to say that I agree with everything, you know, that I read on every podcast or hear on every podcast, but those are probably the ones that in the Christian realm that I listen to the most.
Awesome. Now, that's perfect, man. Listen, I really appreciate you coming on the show. This was really, really good. And I'm excited to get this new book and definitely get my listeners to order it. We'll have a link in the show notes so you can go to Amazon or wherever. I might get a link from you, Jim. You say you got another connect. Get it straight from you.
Yeah.
We'll do that, man. I always like to kind of close out or give you an opportunity to speak to the listeners. Is there anything you want to tell as far as encouragement or any words you want to leave with them? You could do that right here.
Yeah, I would just want to leave your listeners with an encouragement to trust in and rest upon the sufficiency of what God has provided for us in Scripture. I don't think that we understand the depth and the power and the blessing of the Word of God like we should. It is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is all that you need for life and godliness. He has provided everything for you in Scripture. We need nothing outside of Scripture to know God's will, to conform us to the image of Christ, or to sanctify us. He does that through the truth. And the truth is revealed in the Word of God, and that is all we need. And so I would say, reject every philosophy of man, every vain ideology, every ism and thinking that suggests that we need something other than the pure, perfect, and sufficient Word of God.
Awesome. Amen, brother. Yes, sir. Well, listen, to the Bar listeners, appreciate you guys tuning into the Bar podcast, and make sure you guys sign up for the extra content behind the scenes, extra time, extra questions with your boy Dwayne. Make sure you go to thebarpodcast.com. Make sure you go to the bar gear, pick you up some bar gear, rocking your bar gear. Make sure you let us know that you're doing it. Till next time, you guys, God bless you, and we are out of here.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.